And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. That's kind of interesting. That really is kind of interesting if you think about it. Parade all the animals in front of him. Not good for him to be alone. So get all the animals now. Name them. Okay? Monkey. I mean, I take great comfort in that. Because the monkeys were there. Monkey. Chimpanzee. I'm sure he had different words for them, but they were there. Orangutan. Gorilla. And the thing that I find so beautiful. For Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. He says, no siree, God. I ain't bedding down with one of them. Ain't no way. It's better I'll stay alone. There ain't no missing link between them and Adam. Now, of course, there was a bureaucrat, not so choosy, somewhere back there, and produced that warped line. But Adam didn't do it. There was not found an helpmeet for him. He looked them all over and said no. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. Now just think of that exhausting job. Every animal in the world, just talk about a zoo. This has to be the zoo trip of the world. He named them all. Opossum, skunk, rat, elephant, giraffe, rhinoceros, hippopotamus. Man, he must have been glazy-eyed when he finished. Lord must have not had too much trouble putting him to sleep. I mean, you know, counting sheep's supposed to do it for most people. He had a real case of insomnia to get through that whole crowd before he finally dozed off with the Lord's help. The Lord caused a deep sleep. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. I've been woe for man ever since. A woman. And brought her unto the man. Again, woman. Now, I suppose if we keep the sequence, it'd be more like woe Adam. And brought her unto Adam. And brought her unto Adam. Correct those man things. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm sure she was a sight for sore eyes. But when you've been looking at animals as long as he looked at them, anything would have looked good. Just think of what must have crossed his mind when he woke up. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. From Adam. Out of Adam. Because she was taken out of Adam. You can just crow all you want, ladies. Because without you, we wouldn't be here. But without Adam, you wouldn't be here either. I mean, one of us had to pay the supreme price first. Just stand up and be counted, men. They provide a house for a while, but we gave a rib. I mean, you know, it's like the chicken and the hog. Breakfast for the chicken is little effort, but it's a supreme sacrifice for that hog. You ladies, you just were a container for a while. You kept us warm. But the men, they gave some bone. Now get over here, Savvy. These bones don't rise again. No, stay there. Stay there. I'm going to spare him. I'm going to spare Sammy. Spare Sammy. He's been sick too long. I just want you to know we men have paid a price. You say, well, you weren't there, Gene. I'm warming up to this subject now. My Bible says that every single one of us were in Adam's loins way back there. I think I said that spiritual enough. Sound like a preacher. Hold your side, men. Suffer for just a minute or two. Look around all these women. The price we paid to produce all this temptation. Whoa, man. And we've been chasing our rib ever since. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked. I didn't think God would allow that. Now that really is something awful. They were both naked. I'll scratch that out. That word should not be in the Bible. Just, they were both. The man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Well, that's all right since I scratched naked out. Correct this Bible a bit. So God can sound a little more acceptable to Christianity. Now the thing, I can never read the Bible through because I get hung up. What in the world did Adam know about a father and a mother? How do you know? Here is a guy spouting off at the mouth after he lost one rib. This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his rib or something. You know, why does he have, how does he know, what does he know about? Maybe he was going to become a father and mother, but how did he know what a father and mother were? I mean, up till then, ribs made people. There wasn't even a father and mother yet. How do you even know the words? How do you have a word for something that ain't? It just bugs the dickens out of me. Bugs more than that out of me. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. How? Doesn't it bother you? How do you know? I mean, he's telling, he's giving, he's laying down the law. Adam, sees woman. And he spouts off to whom? All the animals and God. Thus saith I, a man shall leave his father and his mother. Where are they? Why have we got these two accounts? Why didn't he just leave it over there with... Why are there two accounts of this creation of man? Does this thing puzzle you? How do you know about father and mother? Apparently they didn't know too much else. They just ran around there naked and didn't do much until they got out of the garden, but they didn't produce any kids until they left. And as soon as they got out of the garden, they just one right after another. Well, that's the way it appears to me. Of course, you know, those things don't happen in the Bible. No, they just beget. That's some kind of spiritual thing that happens. I mean, they ran around this garden naked, not ashamed. And they didn't become father and mother, yet they knew what they were. By the way, who is he to give us lectures on that if he didn't have one? First preacher is just like most of them, telling people to stop doing something or to do something that they know nothing about. I mean, a guy that's never had a father and mother, I don't think it's all that special that he forsakes them. It's like these preachers talk about forsaking sin they never knew. They start testifying in church when they were 6 years old. Well, thank the Lord for delivering me from a terrible life of sin. Kept giving the same testimony for the next 20 years. Well, thank the Lord for delivering me from a terrible life of sin. Worst thing they ever did was just slow down on the sidewalk when they went by a magazine store with a dirty picture book in it. Then they become preachers, telling the world there's no pleasure in sin. This is Adam, you know, giving first sermon, laying down the law, is preaching about something he knows nothing about. That's not the subject tonight. The point of this is, between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, if you translate it, the earth became a waste and a desolation, is a vast, interminable amount of time. In between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, eons could have passed. We know from Isaiah that Lucifer was in Eden, which is described in the second chapter, was in Eden before he fell. He was in Eden when he became lifted up in pride. Saw his reflection, said, I'm pretty. And yet when we encounter him after Genesis 1:2, he's the fallen serpent. And as I've already said, Jeremiah saw this earth when there were meeting places of intelligent beings, but no Adam, not no man. That's what he said, no Adam. Intelligent meeting places, intelligent beings at or meeting places for them, but no Adam. And somewhere between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, Atlantis might have existed. But, by the same token, more probably, if Atlantis existed, it existed after Genesis 1:2. Now, how could that be? We'll see, won't we? But the point is, we have only one deluge. The Egyptians tell of many. Now, Genesis says the sons of God came down on earth and took a look at the daughters of men and were turned on and mated with them and produced giants. Now, the most likely explanation of that is that those beings called the sons of God that came down and were attracted by the women on earth before the flood and mated with them and produced giants had a form. Now, I would guess they were reasonably attractive. I can't think that the pretty women on the earth that could have a pick of the Adam crowd would be that quick to join with these sons of God unless they were at least lookable. But where did these sons of God come from? What did they look like? And if they were some kind of supernatural being, that's more than the sons of men. They had an existence before Genesis 1-2. They would have the memory of the way the earth was before it became a waste and a desolation. They would have a memory of what it was like when Lucifer was in Eden, when those meeting places for intelligent beings existed that Jeremiah saw before the earth was hit by a great cataclysm and the mountains moved and the earth, as Jeremiah says, became a waste and a desolation. I would guess they impressed some of those daughters of men with some strange pillow talk. I'll bet you they fed some strange and wild stories into the memory bank of mankind. And just possibly, when it says Enoch walked and talked with God but was not, for God took him, I often say, where? Everybody thinks he took off like a spaceship. Where? Now, the apocryphal book of Enoch suggests that he was at a certain place where the rest of them weren't. And it says he was with the watchers, which is the apocryphal designation of those sons of God that came down. Some of those watchers came down and were turned on by the women of the earth and mated with them. And the apocryphal book of Enoch has a fuller story of that. Yeah, we're starting to pass them out. Some of you are starting to get these books now. In this apocryphal book of Enoch, that's in that group of three books that we've been providing, or you can buy at Doc's Intelligence Center for $10, I think it is. Enoch's story, and Jude seemed to think that's a pretty good book because he quoted it. His story is a little more detailed on those sinning watchers. They're very real, substantial beings. And Enoch was with the watchers. Now, I have suggested and come close to committing myself to the premise that the reason the Egyptians called the pyramid in Egypt the Pillar of Enoch, and the reason it memorializes the 365 and a quarter dimension, which is the length of the solar year and the length of Enoch's lifetime before God took him, wherever he took him, is that Enoch was God's instrument to design the pyramid and possibly to build it, but certainly to design it. If to build it, is that what brought the watchers down here? Did God take Enoch and take him to Egypt and there inscribe the memorial before the flood? That is, that memorial of stone that Josephus says the descendants of Seth, of whom Enoch was one, memorialized the truth that God had taught them to save it for future generations, knowing that a Holocaust was coming on the earth. And Jude quotes this apocryphal book of Enoch when he talks of God coming with 10,000 of his saints in the second chapter of that apocryphal book. Were the watchers assigned by God as the labor crew to build the pyramid? And like most construction crews on their days off, now that puts them sort of a grade different. I got my eyelashes stuck together. What would you do? I mean, I want to see you out there. That puts them sort of grade different from angels as we now conceive of angels, and mankind as we now conceive of mankind. What if they were the last of a species? Sons of God's all they're called. I mean, traditionally, you know, there are extremes of interpreting that passage. You know, I keep getting back to Genesis when I'm trying to read about Atlantis here. This is a strange passage. Find it in Genesis. Most people don't even believe it's there. I mean, it's too strange. I'm not supposed to have things like this in the Bible. How in the world can I catch up the cities that just joined us with what we've been talking about for the previous hour? I mean, I didn't waste that many words the previous hour. Genesis 1, page 1 in your Bible. The book of beginnings. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. See, I started reading about Atlantis, that fabled city that Plato talked about which more than 20,000 books have been written. And yet the tragedy is, very few people have ever read the 20 pages that comprise, after Plato's 10 volumes of the Republic, the dialogue or the conversation in which one who had come recently from Egypt repeats a story he had been told in Egypt about this fabled land of Atlantis. And I started reading them. Well, it takes us in pretty precise dates back to about 9,500 B.C. Well, the Jews date their calendar for somewhere around it starts 5,000 B.C., and Bishop Usher won't let it start until 4,000 using genealogies. Now, you could hardly be more often trying to find the dates of the world than using genealogies, because it's been proven abundantly from the Scripture that they will skip through generations. And a grandson is called a son, and a great-grandson is called a son, same as a son. And when they're living 800 and 900 years, you call somebody a son and skip to a grandson, you've sliced off a few years. The Bible never said how old the earth is. Anywhere. Anytime. I believe the pyramid marks a date when God began a recreative process with one called Adam, And if it was not Adam, he did mark a specific time that's very important in the history of man and encompasses a 7,000-year period. But the Bible never ever says how old the earth is. Genesis, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. If we take the King James, and it's really not being translated right, the next verse, and the earth was without form and void, just as literally translates, and the earth became a waste and a desolation. And Jeremiah uses phrases that support that. Seeing the earth at a time, there was no man, he says, and yet there were meeting places of intelligent beings. The cataclysm strikes it, mountains move, and then he uses the phrase, the same as Genesis 1-2, the earth became a waste and a desolation. By that translation, a vast gulf of time can exist between Genesis 1-1 and 1-2. And when he creates man, he tells them to replenish the earth. We covered that in a hurry. Let me go back to Genesis 1-1 and give you the accurate translation. The King James is actually wrong when it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. More literally it reads, in the beginning of God's creation of the heavens and the earth. Because God was before. The creation of the heaven and the earth was not done at the beginning. God was there. But somewhere in the unfolding of all that God is and all that God made, there was a beginning of the creation of the heavens and the earth when God began to do it. That's the proper translation. In the beginnings of God's creation of the heaven and the earth. And in the beginning times of the process, the earth became a waste and a desolation. So time, uncalculated, can exist. You don't have to abandon science to accept the Bible. It's usually poor scientists interpreting the Bible or poor theologians that are good scientists or good theologians that are bad scientists arguing with each other. The Bible never suggests that this earth hasn't been around a long, long time, but somewhere along the route it became a waste and a desolation. Then God started a recreative process in which he placed what is called man, and that's second major error. Every time it says man, you need to strike it out and put Adam in. God said, let us make Adam in our image. And from Adam, he made out of Adam. And she was called Eve. A unique kind of being with common qualities of a species, generically, we might call man as the scientists would call man. Man-like beings. But Adam was unique because God breathed in Adam and he became a living soul. That's right, you can't put that thing there, I guess, because it ruins everything. Move over about another 6 inches. That's good, right there. Now, we are down, having torn now, and I can't back up, to a strange happening. The earth's been around a long time. Who all was here? I don't know. We know that Lucifer had not yet fallen, and Isaiah saw him in the Garden of Eden.